Welcome to some amazing discussions from the voices of young America. Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. In the next hour, you'll hear from leading women in academics, business, entertainment, and more. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are very excited to welcome our guest on the show today, Sophia Falk, who is addressing the issue of the lack of diversity in company management. And she does that with action and lots of innovation. So welcome, Sophia. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for being here.
We really do appreciate it. And just to start off the discussion, if you wouldn't mind just telling us a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Sophia Falk, and I'm from Sweden, and I started a company called WomenVest 2008 because I had a background within the intelligence service and the armed forces, being only the only sole female, and it was very, very special. So I got frustrated, and then I got more frustrated when I entered the private sector as a risk and crisis management consultant, when I saw that, well, being a woman and achieving goals and reaching your full potential isn't that easy as it is for men. So then I started my own company, changing these organizations.
Love it. So if you wouldn't mind describing a little bit about your experience in the armed forces and how that relates to wanting to bring diversification into companies.
So actually it all started on my first experience with not equal workplace or not existent of gender equality was when I came in as top 10 out of 60 in a half marathon. So I had been running for like 21 kilometers with 15 kilos on my back and a gun in my hands and the whole, you know, army suit. And they said, oh, you're such a lucky girl. And I was like, lucky? Are you crazy? I've been running. I mean, this is hard.
Right.
But then they said that I was lucky even when I was at the shooting range. I mean, did all good. And they were like, no, you ate a good breakfast, or even when I did my academic exam. So I stood out too much. And when I did good, I was lucky, or, I mean, they found reasons for, I mean, they couldn't compare me to the guys. And I wasn't one of the guys because I was a girl, but I wasn't invited to be in their community just because I was a girl.
Right. And you had the sense of being undervalued for your talents in that workplace as well, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, they saw that, I mean, competence couldn't look like me. I mean, because they weren't used to it. And they were afraid of it. I mean, could a girl looking like this in this male-dominated army thing we are in? I think, yeah. I mean, I stood out too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a great story and a great background. And one can definitely understand why you would make that transition into trying to bring diversification to a company. And you did that with your company, WomenVest. So what type of company is WomenVest?
So we are a Maverick consultancy company that we are acting as a catalyst for change. So we actually, I mean, we don't transform the organizations we work with, but we help them to transform from within using their female talent already working for them as management consultants. And we help them to compile the optimal organization where they can groom and bloom and reach their full potential. So we work with companies as Ericsson and IKEA, H&M, Volvo, large Swedish companies, some of the largest. And we work primarily with the CEOs and the management team because they see that the demographics are changing, and they see that most educated people, they are girls or women. And they see that, I mean, 75% of the total the persons buying consumer goods are made up by women. So they see that we really have to have women within the organizations at all levels to be able to perform well. So we help them to do that. And they identify women already working for them, and they identify, so what type of managerial roles do we actually want? What type of incentives, career, leadership, communication, everything. and they implement that. So actually 90% of the women in our programs reach their next step within a year.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
In the companies that you're working with, I think it's so interesting that you're working with companies as big as H&M and IKEA and Volvo.
Yeah.
And yeah. These are some big players, and they still have problems with diversification.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, look at Ericsson. They have 18% women in the organization. And 18% of managers aren't reflected on all hierarchical levels. So actually they drop out. So they have a real problem.
Mm-hmm. So the companies, we could say that they're not necessarily struggling financially. Maybe that's the reason why they are thinking to diversify. It's more that they just need a modernization in their management.
Yeah, but because what they actually see, I mean, we're working with PricewaterhouseCoopers and KPMG and such companies as well, and they see that they are not attractive to talent, and they don't retain the talent that they have, and why they're doing that as Ericsson and H&M is because the organization isn't updated as the society. I mean, the organization hasn't changed, and the society has. So what they actually do is to upgrade their organizational structure and culture.
Great. Now, do you have any goals for how many businesses you want to help out?
We, before 2016, Women West will have helped 100 companies in Northern Europe. We have worked with like 48 now, so we're getting there. But you have to aim high to reach your goals, right?
Yeah, nice. And so I'm wondering, within the company, what strategy do you use to help these companies out?
The strategy we use is that we make it a fun process, and we make it easy, and we connect all, we work with solution, not focusing on problems, because, I mean, working with gender diversity back in time, it was very easy to like go to the management team and say, oh, you suck, I mean, you don't have enough women, and you are the problem, and this is bad, and ooh, and then no managerial team wants to change, so you actually have to get the solutions and connect them to the business value and make a fun process because an engaging process because then things happen.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And again, you're working on organizational and management changes and trying to get more women involved in management. And that can sometimes be difficult for a business to change. It's a big part of their company that we are trying to change. So how do you help them through this process when it can be very difficult for them?
Well, actually, the difficult thing is that they, as you said, they think that it's so hard to change. I mean, yeah, it is hard to change. But they think that regarding gender diversity, they think that, okay, so we have to change our culture. It would take us 5 years and it would cost us $5 billion or whatever. And, I mean, that's not the thing. So when we have been working, it takes us 3 days working with these women. And then they come up with solutions such as, being transparent with where you put the job ads or that you actually make all job ads available on the internal job market because many companies doesn't do that. Or it might be that you a solution where you have travel. So if you get to a managerial role, you can travel more than 100 days and you have to have help with grocery shopping or whatever, and you don't start meetings before 9 or end them after 4 o'clock. And that actually, I mean, it's easy to implement, right? And it actually makes the managerial role more attractive to women.
Right, definitely. I think it's... really interesting that you brought that fact that it's difficult for these companies to wrap their head around a situation, but really the solution is very much in sight. And we will continue to we will continue this conversation talking about how women can get involved in management and what you're doing to help promote that. But for right now, we will take a break. Remember, we want to hear from all of our listeners out there. Go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, #womeninvest and #girlsinvest. Stay tuned.
Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Join us every week for the Paper Hope Street Team. None of our topics are off the table. This is a program that you can listen to and discuss with your family. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics you want to talk about, such as friendship and relationships, or some more controversial issues about sex, drugs, and underage drinking. Join the Paper Hope Street Team live every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. Let's talk soon.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk.
You are
radio.
Listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I am your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are continuing our conversation with Sophia Falk. And before we went to the break, we talked a little bit about WomenVest and the types of services that WomenVest offers to women and trying to diversify the management teams in companies. And again, to jump right into the conversation, Sophia, The services that you offer to these companies, what is the response from women and what is the response from men?
The first question I always get when I enter the management team room, because we always have to get the buy-in from the management team and ultimately the CEO to be able to drive this type of project or process. And the first question, even though I'm there and they are already bought my services, is like, so okay, what's in it for us to actually do this transformation? And so it's, and they get it, the CEO hopefully get it, but the half of the management team, they actually don't get it, what's in it for them. So that's how they react. They're talking about business and what's in it for them. And when we are talking about engaging women, and we primarily work with companies where we have less than 30% women overall in the organization, so they are a minority. And being a minority, you stand out. So when we select women to participate as internal management consultants, acting as reference group to the management team, they don't want to participate because they feel ashamed or why should I participate in this? And I will be invisible, and the men will not like it. So
part of your role is to help them understand why they should even go through with this process in the first place?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So when a woman is placed in a management position, when you work with them and you try to get them in that position, and let's say if she takes the place of a man that was in that position prior to you helping the company, what's the reaction like on both sides of that?
I mean, it is always like that. We have researched that we always recruit men based on their potential, and we recruit women based on what they actually have achieved. So when you have gotten a woman to a certain position, you know that she has done it. But she will be, even though she will be even more, they will look her through more thoroughly. Mm-hmm. And when she performs, the majority will compare her performance to the man, and she might be not doing it as he did, and she might be valued less than the man. So what she has to do, or what's normal in this, is that she has to perform like 10 times better to be at the same level as the guy before her.
Right. So once equality is achieved in the company, say they work out those problems and now there are about equal men and women on the management board, are there ever issues after that within the company?
Yeah, I mean, numbers, we are talking about that it is a numbers game, but you also have to be included. I mean, I have been working with management team where you have 50-50, but no one listens to the women, or no one pays their attention, or look them in their eyes, or whatever. Having 50-50 and thinking that that's gender equality, that's wrong. So you have to actually feel that you are included in this.
Right. So it's not as much just what's on paper, it's what's actually being done and the progress that's being made within the company. Great.
Yeah.
So do you have any tips for women who believe that their company is unequally divided in management between men and women?
Yeah, of course I have. Well, the first thing is to, if you get to talk to the CEO, that's very good. And I mean, tell him or her, most often it's him, that, I mean, look, I'm a woman, I'm a talent, I'm working here, but for me to be able to reach this position, I would like that we change it this. And it's not only for me, but thousands of women working for you. So why don't we change it? And I mean, get his attention to actually, I mean, things are happening in the world and within the organization, and maybe he isn't aware of it. So get to the CEO and get his buy-in. But also, I mean, you can transform. You have to be the change you wish to be in the world, which you see in the world. So you have to break norms and stand up for yourself.
Awesome. And what advice do you have for a woman who maybe she will take your advice and she'll talk to her CEO, but how does she face the fear of being rejected and not being listened to?
One good thing when you say that we are in a room and you are this woman saying something very smart, and the guys, they react very strange, or maybe use the master suppression techniques like, oh, you don't know anything or whatever. And the thing they say often when you feel like that you said, like you're suppressed, is like they don't say anything. So the best weapon is to say, well, how do you mean now? I don't get it. Why am I young, or why am I incompetent, or why don't I know that? And they can't answer. So that's the best weapon.
Right. So by doing this, you're almost trying to rewire the brains of male managers or people who are on the male side of management. And how do you rewire their outlook on women in management?
I often use, I mean, I talk the first thing when they say what's in it for me, and if they don't get it, I often talk to them about their, my first question to them is, so you have children and hopefully they have a woman or a girl or a boy. And we're talking about the experience of being a parent to these kids. And for example, I was talking to a CEO and he's like, no, I'm not a feminist. I don't see why I should work with gender equality. And I was, okay, so you have your children. You have children, yeah? Okay, one girl and one boy. Do they play soccer was my question because sports is very good.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, they do. And my girl, actually, she's so talented, but they have the worst. I mean, they have to practice very late and late hours, and they get to inherit the other guy's used clothes, and they don't have any sponsors, etc. And the guy also plays soccer, and he sucks, he says. But he gets to play the best times, and they get the best, I mean, clothes and a lot of sponsors, and it's unfair.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the same in, and then I say, okay, well, that's the same for the women working for you because you have constructed an organization where they actually get to play at bad hours and get these bad clothes and they don't have any sponsors. So you have to give them that and then you can change.
Love it. So what level of success have the companies experienced after they follow through with the types of programs that WomenVest offers?
Yeah, well, the thing that we see for the women that, I mean, that I think is very strong is that that I said that 90% of the women reach their next step. And why they do that is because they, I mean, they get to see how they can achieve their full potential and they adjust the managerial role around that. So they update the managerial role. And the other thing is that we, after we have done it, we have put the gender equality on the top management agenda. And they include that in each quarterly report, how they actually achieve their gender equality targets. And the gender equality targets, we actually help them to set targets because what you measure, you improve, right? So
awesome. And within the company as well, do you see that if there's more diversification in management, do the profits go up in the company or does productivity go up in that way?
Yeah, well, you see that. I mean, we have the McKinsey report and Catalyst and Credit Suisse. They all show that, I mean, if you have at least 30% women in the management team, you have 46% high return on equity and et cetera. So you actually see that. But when we work with our companies, we take Scania, for example. They do trucks and they're global. So they were like, okay, so we have to diminish our CO2. What do you call it?
Yes.
Carbon oxide.
Yes.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. So we have to we have to use less fuel and we have to make our trucks last longer. So they were actually looking and they saw that, well, the drivers on the trucks that use the less fuel and I mean make the trucks last longer were women. So they actually, I mean, they saw that it was a concrete business case that if you get more female drivers, we earn billions. So they did.
Awesome. And Sophia, when we get back from our next break, we're going to talk about the different programs that WomenVest offers. But for now, we are going to take another break. Remember, we do want to hear from you at facebook.com/womeninvesting. Or our listeners, you can go to Twitter at #WomenInvest and #GirlsInvest. Stay tuned.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Are you ready to explore the amazing world under the sea? Your host is a certified scuba diver, explorer. He likes to cook. And most of all, he's just a kid like you. You'll find out a lot more lies under the sea than what you've seen on TV, in movies, and even in aquatic parks. You'll learn about all kinds of fish, as well as other sea creatures. We'll take you to some exotic destinations and so much more. There's a whole big world under sea just waiting to be discovered. Tune in to Under the Sea, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Kids.
Sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
There's so much going on in the tech field. The tech team is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to the tech team. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
Looking for an on-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself, an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself. What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
What's cooking? Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food, beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag Women Invest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I am your host, Michelle Jaffe, and once again, we are continuing our conversation with Sophia Falk of Women Invest. And like I said in the last section, right now in this section, I'd love to focus on the types of programs and workshops that are available to the clients of Women Invest and when they seek help from Women Invest as well. So if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about that.
So the main thing we do, as I said in the beginning, was that we act as a catalyst for change. So we help the organizations to get the buy-in from the CEO and the management team and set KPIs and targets and then get it done. So how we do that is a three-day long workshop where you have one day and then you have a pause for like 4 to 6 weeks. So over three to six months, we do a process called the Business Transformer Workshop, where the CEO and the HR director at the company has selected from 10 to 150 women working at all hierarchical levels and from all business areas. And they get to be experts. So what they do is to use their experience, I mean, being their knowledge, only being themselves, a woman within that specific company. And so we get that knowledge out and make a collective sense-making way where all the women could see a trend. So because the first thing is to get awareness that it's not only me being, me experience all this bad stuff or good stuff, so you see those trends. And then we use that knowledge and we help them to dream and visionize. So how should we work with role models or the job ad's description? What vocabulary or semantics should we use? Or, I mean, what targets? Or how should we work with leadership or anything? And then they get to select those solutions that actually will speed up the process, getting more women to management positions, but also solutions that are implementable within 6 to 12 months. So you get to the management team and present solution that they actually can achieve. So that's the thing we do mostly. And we do it in one company, or we gather like 10 companies and they do it together so they can bench learn and do some benchmark. And also we work with awareness workshop, because when you have got the KPIs and the targets, you have to work with the system, and the system resides within the brains of persons. So you have to get these leaders within the organizations to discuss, okay, so when I define competence, why do I always think of a man? Or why do I think that if you should reach this role, you should have been doing this and that and know that person and being that school and going to that golf club or whatever. So awareness workshops as well. So business transformer workshops and awareness workshops.
Love it. So being the one who is also facilitating these workshops, what do you notice when more than one company come together and the women employees who feel like they should have higher positions, what do you notice that's similar and different between the two companies when they come together?
Well, the thing is that it isn't that big difference between the companies, because all women have experienced more or less the same things, and the solution that they present are always the same. They differ very little, but it's always about targets or role models or career or semantics and job ads or leadership. Or so the greatest thing is that to see that we are so alike and our solutions are so alike. So how hard could it be?
Definitely. So when you talk about role models and that being so important in these workshops as well, what do you find is so important about having women who are in those management roles talking to women who seek those management roles?
So the best thing working with role models or being a female manager is to be yourself, because, I mean, you have to be that person that you want others to be able to be. So be yourself and try not to be somebody else.
Definitely. I couldn't agree more. And these workshops themselves, the type of content that you do, you mentioned that there is some brainstorming as well, and trying to plan out your almost plan of attack of trying to get to those management positions. So are these workshops, do they promote communication? Do they promote brainstorming? Is there also a little bit of letting out feelings of frustration at the situation that these women are in as well?
Yeah, that's the first step. So you have to get your experience from being a woman in that organization out, and you have to see that you are not alone, and you have to see the trends that, I mean, we are more of us experience the same thing. And then you get to focus on problems, because it's like, okay, so why is it like this? Why is that I'm experiencing all this stuff? And I mean, you're focusing on problems, but then very, very quickly we start to focus on solutions, and we have to connect them to business value or the overall business objectives, because otherwise no change will be. I mean, you can focus on problems, but I mean, the management team won't change it.
Right, definitely. And talking about the business transformer itself, we went a little bit into it. If you wouldn't mind explaining once again what exactly the transformer is.
Yeah, it is a three-step workshop, actually. The first thing is so when you look at, we ask these women, they sit in groups, and we ask them, okay, so when you look at your company's existing or non-existing gender equality work, what do you see? What do you think is missing? What do you think is there? What are leaders and employees how are they talking about it? And what kind of values or attitudes or way behaviors are hindering or enhancing increased gender equality? And then they do it by themselves, and then they collect do the collective sense making, and they see the trends. And after that, they get to rate existing targets, leadership values, communication strategies, career plans, or whatever, from a scale from 0 to 10. How good do you think we are? Where they identify and see, because when we work with graphical, visual, very visual charts, and when you see these ratings, it's so obvious that you are good in some parts and you are really suck in other parts. And then we speed up the process, and they get to like the two parts where they have the lowest rating and the highest rating, and from there they identify leadership. So they identify solutions, and then they select the solutions that speed up the change process and are implementable within 6 to 12 months. And after that, they go home.
My baby here coming. And then they go home in their companies, and they investigate. So now we have dreamed, visionized, so how does it actually look in reality? And they come back with that intelligence, and they create business models and business cases for each solution. And the third workshop, they meet the management team, because one key in our business transformer process is to get the management team to meet their target group that they want to get to management positions, the women themselves, because you cannot change with statistics and facts and, best practices. You have to meet people, real people sharing real stories, because then you get to the gut feeling, and then you really get the management team to be willing to change.
Absolutely. I love how this transformer definitely takes these women through all the different steps that are necessary to get to that position role, and all the different problems and they'll encounter, and ways to offer solutions as well. So I think that's incredible. We are going to take one more break. Remember, we do want to hear from listeners. What do you think about the transformer? And do you think that this would be effective in your company as well? Go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, #womeninvest and #girlsinvest. Stay tuned.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I am your host, Michelle Jaffe. And once again, we are continuing our conversation with Sophia Falk of WIM Invest. And for this part of our discussion, Sophia, you had a very important part in the Battle of the Numbers, correct?
Yeah.
So if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about what that Battle of the Numbers is.
Yeah. Last year, or actually 2 years ago, me and two women, Eva Schwarz-Grimaldi and Cecilien Frankel, we met over a dinner and talking about, okay, so in the media here in Sweden, we only focus on the board, women to board issue. And the media are really angry and pissed, and they go to the CEOs to these companies and they ask them, why don't you have enough women in your board? And it's not a CEO question, so it's all, I mean, it's all, you cannot do that. And it's, and we were getting kind of frustrated. And also, we got frustrated because, I mean, focusing on the board level isn't having a trickle-down effect when it comes to management and operating positions, because then you have to transform the company from within, as Women Invest has been doing. So we sat there and we said that, well, what if we got 10 companies, Swedish largest companies, to join, to team up and do these business transformer workshop together and do some bench learning? And how can we, by doing that, showing what these companies can do on their own and what kind of politics we have to have instead of focusing on quotas to the boards, as the government are doing here in Northern Europe. So we phoned each CEO, or we emailed them, and we got to meet all 10 CEOs from these 10 large companies, and they were willing to team up and show what they were doing. Because when another thing in the media is that they are focusing on, oh, it goes so slow and we have so not many women on each position. And actually, I mean, I see that these companies are actually working kind of hard to change. But that isn't written about in the media. So we wanted to change that, and we did. So we got these 10 companies to each of one of them identify 10 women in each company. And so we had 100 women in total doing this business transforming workshop. And we ended up to by meeting the opposition and the government, the former government now, showing, okay, so this is what we will do in the in these companies. What can you do as politics?
Definitely. The whole program itself is just so incredible, and to see that these, again, that these huge companies are working together for this great cause is very, very special. So what was your role in the Battle of the Numbers?
Well, I was one of the brains behind it, together with Cici and Eva, and then Women Invest was responsible of conducting all the work, the workshops, identifying the women, getting them to meet, and I mean doing this process and getting them to identify targets, KPI solutions, meeting their management team, etc. And then together we organized the closing event. And Eva and Cici, they were responsible for handling more or less the media, because Sissy, she's the editor of a magazine called Manager in Swedish, Manager. So they were writing about it, and we actually got the big communications prize in Sweden for the whole project.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And what was the success rate of this Battle of the Numbers? Are there specific ideas that these women came up with that were actually implemented into these businesses?
Yeah, one of them that were actually bold, it was an insurance company called SPP, where the women saw that, well, these men are sitting like 10, 15 years on the top level positions, and I mean, they are never available. So why don't we introduce a rotational program so you can only sit like your mandate period, so you can only sit 5 to 7 years? So the CEO for the company, they implemented that for the two top level positions. So that's one kind of bold initiative, I think.
Yeah, it's great. And do you think that this serves as a model for diversification and management in Sweden and around the world?
Excuse me, can you tell the question again?
How does the Battle of the Numbers serve as a model for diversification and management in Sweden and then around the world as well?
Yeah, well, it shows that, I mean, change is possible. And also, I mean, doing this work together and join, team up 10 largest companies, actually very, very effective. I mean, the Minister of Gender Equality in Sweden, she was talking about this project the whole last year, and she was visiting all companies also. I mean, so it got a lot of attention, good attention.
Awesome. And the fact that you are from Sweden, we've said multiple times throughout the show when we interview Swedish guests that Sweden is one of the most progressive countries in the world. But what percent of the companies have women in management positions?
No, that's the problem. I mean, we're talking about Sweden as one of the most gender equal countries in the world. And we are, when you look at jurisdiction and legacy and, I mean, possibilities to combine career and to spend time with your children. I mean, we have 480 days for free with 80% of your salary to be home with your children. That's kind of amazing. But still, we are lousy when it comes to private sector and female managers. I mean, the median in Europe is 34% female managers, and Sweden has 27%. So we're not that good.
Right. Do you believe that there's any one cause for this, taking into consideration all the work that you've done with WomenVest and everything that you've noticed from these women in different companies? Do you think that there can be one source that is causing this lack of management for females?
Yeah, I think, and that's very sad, because we have this, as I said, 480 days. It's amazing to be home with your children, but it's also one of the greatest hinders for women, because you are away too long, and the companies are used to women not being there. They go away for a year, 1.5, and in other companies, I mean, and we are working in globally, so we see that when you don't spend as much time at home with your children, you actually rise to the top easier. But also, I mean, if you see it, these women, they that rise to the top in other companies, they might be divorced, or they only have one child, or they don't have any children because it's not possible to combine career and family. Mm-hmm. And in Sweden you can, but it also, I mean, so it's a dilemma, you could say.
No, I think that's really interesting to bring that point into perspective, because usually we glorify the idea of having that maternity leave. And yes, it is an incredible thing to have, but also to take into consideration that it can also hinder you because you're gone away from the company for so long. So I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, but then you as a company has to adjust to that fact. So you have to, I mean, not say bye-bye, be away for 1 or 1.5 year,
right,
but to actually engage the women or urge them to maybe take 8 months instead of 1 year or 1.5, and I mean, be proactive as well.
Right. Awesome. And we do know, we heard your daughter a little bit in the background, so I think that's very special to have the perspective of a mother as well. So I'd love to know from you, what type of world do you want to see your daughter living in?
Well, I want her to be that kick-ass girl that she is her whole lifetime. And I want her to feel that she can be that person and not need to change or adjust or listen to others too much. Because I mean, I have grown up, and it's so hard being a woman. I mean, your biggest enemy is yourself, because you think you should be thinner or funnier or happier or smarter or whatever. And instead of just being, so I want her to live in a world where she can just be.
We love that, and that's definitely a comment to be the epitome of what it means to invest in women and to invest in girls as well, to invest in the future. So yeah. We really do appreciate that. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
And thank you again for being a part of our program. Once again, this was Sophia Falk of Women Invest. And thank you to our listeners again for listening as well. Remember, we do want to hear from you at facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, #womeninvest and #girlsinvest. You've been listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe. The show is produced by Kidstar Radio for the Voice America Kids Network. In Kidstar Radio, we empower kids.
Thank you for joining us today. Your hosts will be back next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, for another edition of Women Investing in Women and Girls on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll talk then.
My name is Lindsay Marie from Bookworm. Now from the Kidstar Album of the Month, here is the Wiz Pops and their song, Blue Wave.
From the Kidstar Album of the Month.